Amen. All right. Welcome to church. And it's a good time to say to someone beside you, you are welcome to church. All right. And this moment, can we graciously welcome our father back from leave? All right. Thank you very much, sir. Is there an opportunity to be standing in front of us this morning? And it's an opportunity I'm not taking for granted. I give praise to God Almighty, who has counted me worthy in His service. So I give praise to God. And I trust God this morning that every one of us will meet with the Lord this morning, and there will be a new knowledge and an encounter from the Lord Himself in the name of Jesus. When we pray, He answers us. When we cry, He hears our voice. We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. When we pray, He answers us. When we cry, He hears our voice. We are not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. When I pray, He answers me. When I cry, He hears my voice. I am not alone. God is with me. Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
I don't want us to sing that song as a song. Because when you pick a song and you sing that song, What happened to you is that it's opened your consciousness to the God you have come to interact with. And that's why I picked the song, When I Pray. It's a personalized one because you must meet the Lord for yourself.
When I pray, He answers me. When I cry, He hears my voice. I am not alone. God is with me. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. When I pray, He answers me. When I cry, He hears my voice. When I cry, He hears my voice. I am not alone. God is with me. Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, we have come to meet with you, O Lord. We ask, O God, that through your word, that there will be a restored fellowship, that there will be an interaction with every one of us in the name of Jesus. We ask, O God, that you single out every one of us and you minister to us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father, because you will help us. For in Jesus' name, have I pray. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9 and 10. I believe you are with your Bible. I believe you came to church with your Bible.
So open to the book of Romans chapter 10. I'll read verse 9 and 10. And I will also read Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. The scripture says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. The scripture reads, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen. Now, I'll be teaching on the topic, embracing the Lordship of Jesus. Embracing the Lordship of Jesus. Now, discussion of the Lordship will not happen in the context of a believer if there is no entrance. We can't begin to start with the subject of Lordship if there is no entrance that gives you access to that Lordship. And it is for that reason I started with the scripture, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, if thou believe in thy heart that Jesus is what? Raised from dead. And there is a confession from thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Because the believing comes from the heart. But the believing that comes from the heart translates into the confession of the mouth. That means there must be a day in your life whereby you believe in your heart that Jesus is raised from the dead because of me. Do you see what the scripture says? It says, if thou believe in thy heart that he is raised from dead. Now the question you need to ask is, what led to his death? The scripture says, if thou believe, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Do you see the word? If thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus. That means even in the day you confess that you believe in Jesus, what you call him is you call him Lord. And what you believe that you confess with your mouth is that he is raised from dead. Now the question is, what led to his death? Did you understand what led to his death? Or you just feel like, let me say something. Because the understanding of what led to his death is what will make you to embrace his Lordship. Because the believing you believe is unto his death. And the death is what leads to the resurrection of Jesus that gives you the possibility of the life you have. What led to his death? Because if there is no death, there is no need for the resurrection of Jesus. So what led to his death? There is a fellowship that is broken between man and God. And there is a need for a righteous one to amend that relationship. Jesus made himself the propitiation. Meaning that he made himself as the one to give you favor before God. He made himself the propitiation. Casting down all his glory to die for you and to die for me. There is a favor that needs to be regained with God. Jesus had to lay down his own life to ensure that that fellowship that is broken between man and God is restored. That is what led to his death. There
There's the need for a righteous man to redeem you, to redeem us, to bring us back into the connection of the favor which we lost with God. From the beginning, the relationship with God and man is a cordial one. Man does not need to struggle to interact with God. But sin came, creates a gap that exists between God and man. But God in his mercy needs a restoration to bring that relationship back. And Jesus said, I will go. I will put down my life to ensure that the relationship is restored. Can you imagine that great glory which he cast down to make himself man, to walk upon the face of the earth, to ensure that relationship is restored back to God? That is our entrance. That is your entrance. So it is that belief that it is that death, that unto that death you believe in, that he died for my sin. He resurrected for my sin, because he didn't remain in the place of death. He resurrected for my sin. It is on that you believe in your heart. That is now a confession that you now made with your mouth. That what I have believed in my mouth, I make it a declaration that comes out from my mouth. Possibly you are seated here this morning. There was a time you said you give your life to Jesus, but you don't even know to what you give your life to. I'm making it to you to understand this morning that it is unto his death. Because he died. It cost him something. Salvation looks simple, but it cost Jesus something. It cost him his life. It is that death that you believed in your heart that he died for me. And he resurrected to see the relationship that is broken between me and God restored. He said, when thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that means even when you came, you believe in his death and his resurrection for you. What you call him is Lord. That means you believe in him as the supreme authority. That is what you did. Check that scripture again. Look at it. I want us to pay keen attention to it. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. He said, if thou shalt believe with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made. Possibly in the day you give your life to Jesus, what you did is that there is a confession in your mouth, but there is no believing in your heart. I've come to tell you this morning that is a believing before the confession. You must believe that he is raised from the dead because of you, because of me. That revelation must be open to you. That he didn't just give me the access, he died. It cost him his life. And he had to be raised from the dead. That is what gives you the access. And possibly you are here this morning. You can't even recall. Maybe there is any day in your life you've actually called him Lord. That means your journey has not started. And it is on this note we are starting, because there is no lordship without first understanding what gives you the entrance. You are here this morning. The Lord is calling for you. You can't even remember. Or you didn't have any day you actually believe in your heart that Jesus is raised from the dead. And you make a confession with your mouth. Jesus is here for you this morning. If you are in that category, that you understand that you've not given your life to Jesus, you've not believed that he died for you and he resurrected, this is an opportunity for you this morning. And that is the best decision you can make this morning. Do not be ashamed. Jesus is here for you. If you have not making that decision, and you want to do so this morning, can you raise your hand up? Jesus is here for you specifically this morning. You understand that your life needs Jesus. You understand that you cannot progress further. But Jesus is calling you this morning. He said, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. If you are here this morning, this is the best decision you can make for yourself. You can make. Can you raise your hand? Signify that yes, you want Jesus in your life. You understand that he died for you, resurrected. And this morning you believe in your heart and you are making a confession that is the Lord Jesus is there for you this morning. Don't allow that deception. Don't allow it to happen that how will I raise my hand in front of people. Don't be ashamed of him. He came for you specifically. Don't allow that deception in your heart to hold you down now, right now. Jesus is calling you. He said, come to me. If you are there, you want to give your life to Jesus. Jesus is calling you. You can signify. You can signify. Please, church, let's help these people. Please, let's close our eyes. Let's help them. It's an opportunity I'm giving you this morning because Jesus is calling you. Your journey has not started if you don't know the way to him. And he's calling you this morning. I am here for you. I died for you. It cost me my life. I resurrected just to restore the relationship. If you are here this morning, can you signify? Don't be ashamed. He came for you. I know there is still one person there. You are still thinking, should I raise my hand? He's giving you the opportunity, and that is why I stayed on this. Because it's very important for you to make that decision today. If you are there, raise your hand. If you are there, raise your hand. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say to the Lord, thank you, Jesus? Can you say, thank you, Jesus? That is what gave you an entrance. He died. He resurrected. And when he resurrected, he gave you the life you have inside of you. And what you did is that you declare him when you make that confession that he's the Lord Jesus. That means he's the supreme authority. You make that declaration with your mouth that he's the supreme authority. However, the journey does not stop there. But it's unfortunate that certain people, they stop at this junction when they give their life to Jesus. They make that confession, Lord, I believe you died for me. And they stop there. But the journey does not stop there. When you look at Matthew chapter 7, 13, verse 13 and 14 that I read, he said that enter in through the straight gates. The scripture now make the illustration very clear. There is a what? There is a road, which is the highway. He said there is a broad what? A broad way. And there is what? A narrow way. He now said that broad way, there are many who do what? Who walk in therein. But the narrow way, he said only what? Only few find it. That means the narrow way should be searched for. But many walk through the broad way. Let me make that scripture graphics to us. Let me make it in a graphical form. I need 2 persons. Can you please come? Because many of us, we believe in Jesus. But at that believing, that is where we stop. Our journey does not continue. But the journey of a believer should take progress from the day you give your life to Jesus to embrace the transformation that is alive in Jesus. Please come. Now, look at the scripture say, enter ye through the straight gates. That means there is a gate upon which you come into the kingdom. That is the entrance of salvation, right? And that is what I just finished explaining. You believe in your heart that he died and resurrected. That means you started the journey. But the journey does not stop there. Now, these 2 persons, they give their life to Jesus on the same day. That means they believe in their heart and they confess with their mouth. That means their journey in the kingdom started, right? They enter through that straight gate. That is the gate of salvation. But the Bible says, on that broad way, many are they who do what? Who walk therein. That means many people came into the kingdom believing. But when they enter through that kingdom, they want to walk the kingdom their own way. I don't know, maybe you get what I'm saying. They have a plan that I will continue my journey. Now that's the way I was coming. They want to continue on that path when they enter into the kingdom of God. So let's say these 2 persons, they're giving their life to Jesus on the same day. This person said, let me continue my life now. I don't care. I've entered the kingdom. I'm saved. Nothing happened. And he continues his journey. And this person said, I have entered into the kingdom of God. I call him Lord.
I believe him as the supreme authority. That means if he is the supreme authority, he must be the one that do what? Guide my step. That means the person who chooses his own way begins to walk in the broad way. They choose their own path. I have what I want to do. I have my own plan. I have my own strategies. They begin to walk their way. But the person who believes in the supreme authority begins to take instruction. Read the Bible. Pray. Obey every instruction and commandment. What happens? You begin to see them. Even though they give their life to Jesus on the same day, you begin to see one person looking different from the other. And you ask, what happened? One person embraced transformation. Taking instruction in the kingdom. And one person is walking the kingdom their own way. Do you see the difference now? And that's how you can say, someone can say, I've been in church for over 30 years. And you look their life. Their life is not matching up with the years they are quoting. The difference is that one person embraced transformation. And that person said, I've given my life to Jesus. I can walk it the way I like. Thank you. God bless you. So the journey does not stop at giving your life to Jesus. It continues in the place whereby you embrace transformation. Because what you believe is that you believe him as the supreme authority, but you must embrace the transformation so that your journey can begin. If there is no transformation, if your life is not being transformed, your life is not different from the person who is outside the kingdom. It is that transformation that happens in your life that makes people to begin to see you, that something new, something has been altered in your life. Someone who has not given his life to Jesus is lying, cheating, manipulating. Someone who said he has given his life to Jesus too is also doing the same thing. Then what is the difference? The transformation that happens in your life is what makes people begin to see that something has happened to this person. And they begin to suspect, what is it that has happened to this person? We used to know him before, that he used to do like this. But they've seen that what you used to do before, you do them no more. And that is why that song, things I used to do, I do them no more. You see that? There are things you used to do before. Transformation begins to ensure that you drop all those things as you walk with the Lord. They begin to drop those things as they walk with the Lord. So there is a broad way. There is a narrow way. The question is, which way are you walking? The narrow way is meant to be, is that only few find it. It means, and you know, let's read NLT, let me read from NLT version. That's in Matthew chapter 7. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Alright, NLT version put it this way. He said, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gates. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult. Only a few can find it. Now, the road is what? Difficult. Only what? A few can find it. The question you need to ask is, why does the Bible say the road is difficult? And it is because that road is difficult that many said, let's walk our own way, Joe. Let's walk our own way. That is why only few find it. Because the road is difficult. I've come to tell you, the road is difficult. And it is difficult in the sense that what you are coming with, you cannot continue that same way. The excesses in your life, you must drop it. The baggages you are carrying, you must drop it. That is why it is difficult. But many people are not ready to do that. They still want to embrace their old lifestyle. They said, I want to be Deborah now. But they still remember they want to be Kim Kardashian, what do they call the name? They still want to be that one too. But in entering the kingdom, those excesses will be stripped off you. And that is why that road is difficult. You cannot walk it your own way. You cannot walk it according to your own ideology. That is, you have come to submit to the Lordship of Jesus. That means the supreme authority. And Jesus will do everything to strip you of yourself so that you can become like him. That is why the road is difficult. You submit to the lordship of Jesus, and Jesus will do everything to help you to ensure that you look like him. But many people, when they started that journey, they say, when they begin to see those demands, they say, no, it's like, I can't continue on this journey. Even though they've given their life to Jesus, they begin to walk their own way. But the SSC is what? We pruned off. Because the one you have come to is the Lord. Now, how can we explain Lord? How do we explain Lord? Now, when you look at the Old Testament, according to the Hebrew, they have a national name in which they call Lord. And that is what they call Jehovah. Jehovah. And when you see in the Old Testament, when they use the word Jehovah, they are still saying the same thing. They are still saying Lord. They are still saying what? Lord. And it means the self-existent or eternal. The self-existent or eternal. So the word Lord could also mean one who possessed absolute control. One who possessed absolute control. One who is a master, one who is a ruler. And when you look at the New Testament too, the Greek word which they use in interpreting Lord is kurios. Kurios. And the kurios means the one, a supreme master. A supreme master. So when we talk about lordship, we are talking about the state of quality of being a lord. So the lordship is that is a state of being what? A supreme authority. A state of being a supreme authority. So if you are talking about embracing the lordship of Jesus, we are talking about you have come to a place whereby you submit unto the supreme authority and is the one who exercises that authority over your life. So it is possible to have confessed the Lord Jesus, but you have not allowed the government of his lordship in the areas of your life. It is possible to have called him Lord, but yet you didn't allow him to do what? To exercise his governmental authority over the lordship, over areas of your life. Even though we call it absolute control, God is a God who does not what? Force us into lordship. He ensures that we come by yourself and you submit yourself for his lordship. He doesn't force us into that control. He ensures that you come by yourself, lay it down, and said, I submit myself. And that is why God is intentional. You can give your life to Jesus. Begin to do it your own way. He's waiting for you. If it takes you 20 years to walk it your own way, when you came back, he's also waiting for you. And he said, welcome, my son. I've been waiting for you. He's so intentional to that extent. So you could have called him Lord. Calling him the one who has the supreme authority. But he will not force that authority on you. He gave you a will. He gave you a choice. By your choice, you should be able to make that choice. I submit myself to your lordship. And you must ensure that you exercise lordship over every area of your life. Some individual can say, in my academics, when it comes to exam, Lord, why will you want me to read? I want to pass this exam. But when it comes to making decisions of their life, they say, I don't know what to do now. That means you have not allowed them to take what? Lordship over that area of your life. So you need to allow him take lordship over your life. And I need to state it this morning that it is important for you to note that God is not the starting point of your life. He is the source of your life. He's not the starting point. He is the source of your life. It is from him that you are being carved from. It is from him you are created. So he is not your starting point. He is the source of your life. So you must understand that. Check, Yoruba will say, omo to ba gbagbe kini orisun re. Kini odo to ba gbagbe orisun re. Won yo se kini? Yo gbe. It means if you are seeing God as only your starting point, that you can come anyhow, anytime, anywhere. It means many times you will be dry. And I remember my brother, Pastor Shekwaga, a few weeks ago, take us through when there is no covering. The covering of the Lord is always there. We are talking about Emmanuel. The Lord is always with us. But you can decide, let me walk my own way. I'm not interested. So you must understand that Jesus is your source. And you must always see him as your source that you need to come back to all the time asking questions. How should I go? How should I go? So the understanding that God is your source makes you to live under his government. Makes you to submit to his instructions, to his commandment, to the obedience of every instructions he will give to you. So the government of God is what regulates your life by his will. Every government have policies. Every government, they have what guide them as a constitution. You're coming to the kingdom of God too. There are instructions you need to follow. Then the government of God must regulate your life by his will. The will of the Lord is what the Lord consults in dealing with you. So you must submit yourself to that government to ensure that your life is pruned. Your life is adjusted to look like him. And many times, you know, Matthew 7, 13 and 14 said that road is difficult, right? It is difficult in the sense that certain times the instruction about me, about you, they are specific. You are getting your instruction because God himself, he understands our frame. He understands the things you can bear, the things I cannot bear. So he will tailor our dealings based on what will help us to align. So many times when you compare your instruction with my own, they are not the same. Yes. And that is why you need to submit to that lordship. To ensure that the government of the Lord Jesus prune your life. To ensure that government what? Prune your life. Someone can say, if they give me 1 million, I will not manipulate because of 1 million. Even they give me 50 million, nothing will happen. It's not a problem. But another person, even if they give them 1,000, they will say, me that I'm hungry. Me that I'm hungry. So every one of us, we need to subject ourselves to the lordship of the Lord so that that excesses, that thing that is not looking like him in our life, he prune them off. He knows your frame. And he knows what he's going to do to prune those excesses out of your life. And if you truly submit to the lordship of Jesus, you will not do everything. You don't jump in doing everything. You know, these days you see people, when there is trend, everybody jump on the trend. What you are doing, why are you doing it? If we ask you that question this morning, that what you are doing, why are you doing it? Can you declare it boldly to us that it is because the Lord instructed it? Or because I feel this thing is good now, it's not bad. It's not bad. People are doing it. Is that the reason why you are doing it? If every decision of your life, you are making that decision because you feel it is good, that means you have not submitted to the lordship of Jesus. Because he should be the one to determine how you approach your life, how you go about your life. You don't do everything because it makes sense. I used to give you an example over time. You graduate from school and you need a job. And maybe there are three offers. Maybe one for a basic salary of a million naira, a monthly salary of 1 million. One, a salary of 500,000. And the third one, 50,000. Okay. Now, naturally, if they ask you to make a decision, 1 million is good now. Is it not good? Eh? Is it not good? Answer me. Now, people, are you doing like you don't like money? 1 million naira, is it not good as a salary? Eh? Is this good? Now, when I give that example, I used to say, even when you submit to the lordship of Jesus, he can say, don't take anything. You even 50,000 is even there. You know, if you said, oh, yeah, take 50,000, you can say, 50,000. At least let's be going out. Now, people can say we are going out. But He can say, don't take anything. That is when you will know whether it is his lordship you submit to or you have an ambition. And I'm not saying this to say that God, because someone will say, is God that wicked? No. But he has a plan for you. And in those plans, you are not aware of those plans. You, many times you think in the 1 million, your future is in the 1 million. But God is not saying the future in the 1 million. God has a better plan. So when you submit to his lordship, what happens is that he guides you. He doesn't make the decision for you, but he guides you into the right decisions to make. So you don't jump on every trend because you believe I can do anything. Now me get my data, I can do anything. I bought it with my money. But you don't jump on every trend. You don't live like you want to live. You don't live like there is no one who has authority over you. If you truly understand him as the supreme authority over you, your life will be well guided by him. If he's the Lord over your life, then you will not dress anyhow. You know, it's funny these days that you see people, they are sitting in the congregation, you think they are pious people. They look very nice. Let it come to their birthday. Or let it come to the day they are graduating from school. You will wonder, what has been happening to them since the day they've been listening to sermons? Because they can use that moment to feel like, it's my day. It's my day. And you see them, they almost dress half naked. And you wonder, what is their problem? If you submit yourself to the lordship of Jesus, there are certain things you will not do. No, there are some things that they are not bad in themselves, but you will not do it again because your Lord said no. He governs everything about your life. He guides your life to the decisions you are to make. Now, let's check something together in the life of Saul, who later turned Paul. Let's open to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 9. I will read from verse 1 to 6. Acts, the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. The scripture says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the heads and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Well, if you follow that scripture, or even if you are a student of the scripture, you would have read this passage couple of time. No, it was Brittany threatenings. Received a letter to persecute the Christians, to put them in jail. But on his way, the Lord what? Interrupt his plans. But do you know, there is something amazing in that scripture. When the light shine upon him, you know, he said, who art thou, Lord? Abi? Who introduced the encounter to him as the Lord? I don't know, maybe you have asked that question before while you are reading that place. Who introduced the Lord to him? He said, who art thou, Lord? But you will understand that before that place, what Saul was doing, that he was zealous according to the law. And according to the law, what Saul was doing is without blame. Yes, before the law is righteous. Someone is saying, where are you saying that? Okay, Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 3,
verse 3 and 4. The scripture says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit, in the spirit, and rejoice in Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Verse 5. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, what? Blameless. That means according to the law, what Saul was doing was accurate. And you understand, he gave his credentials here. He's an Hebrew of Hebrew. And he studied what? Under Gamaliel, one of the finest, we can say the ruler at that time, is a Pharisee. So he understands by the law everything he's meant to do. And to him, at that moment, what he was doing, he thought he was worshiping God. That is to him, because he believes he's doing what the law what says. But it is not the law that makes a man righteous. It is the faith what? In Christ Jesus. So he was zealous, thinking he's serving the Lord. So when the Lord came to him, he identified, because it is possible to have listened to, no, you said, I know the Lordship of Jesus, I know this, you have quoted it, you have done many things. But when you have encounter with that Lord, you don't need anybody to introduce him to you, you will know. So he knew what the Lordship of Jesus is. He knew what, when we say something, when we call someone a Lord, he knew what it means. So when the Lord came and intercepted his journey, he understand this can only be the Lord. But to him, what he was doing, he thought he was worshiping the Lord with his heart of service. What you are doing this morning, what you are doing in your life currently, even though it looks accurate, do you think you are worshiping God with it? You can say what I'm doing is right, it's good, I'm doing this, but is it commanded by the Lord? So when he met with the Lord, he said, who art thou, Lord? But you know, when Jesus answered him, the next question is, what will you have me do? Because when you meet with the Lord, your question should be, what will you have me do? Your heart must shift from what it used to be to a right posture with him. He asks, what will you have me do? What will you have me do? What will you have me do? So when Saul met with the Lord, he knew that the zeal he had was from the knowledge of the law. But when he met with the Lord, an experience is furnished in him that there's something wrong with my approach. And you need to ask, what will you have me do? And I believe someone is asking that same question this morning. Because you check your life, you know what you are doing, it is not instructed by God. You know the way you are living your life, it is not because God occasioned what you are doing, but because you felt, let me do something. People are doing it. But can you ask that question this morning? Lord, what will you have me do? What will you have me do? What will you have me do? And when you see a man who does not submit to the Lordship of Jesus, they make everything to center around themselves. They make everything to what? To center around themselves. When you see a worship leader who came to the altar to say he wants to lead the people to worship, if he has not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, that worship will be about him and not about God. Even though people see him to be worshiping, but he is the one enjoying himself. That song he's singing is the one that wants to enjoy himself. And when you see that, when you submit to the Lordship of Jesus, even in your profession, in your profession that you choose, that the Lord himself will instruct you on what not to do about that profession. I might be wrong, but I said this to myself over time. That so many times when you look at the profession you are operating, if you decide to follow every ethics of that profession, you will go out of the Lordship of Jesus. I may be wrong, but that is my opinion. Because there are some
things that comes as an element from that profession, that if you don't say no, I will do it according to the instructions of the Lord. That means you exalt that profession above the Lordship of Jesus. If someone is a nurse, for instance, or a pharmacist, you know, there are some drugs that you know, even though you want to enlighten people that this drug is like this, do you know there are some drugs that people abuse it when they have the knowledge of it? Is it not? Let me not go there. It's okay. But what I'm saying in essence is that there are some knowledge you have according to your profession that you know even if you push out that knowledge, you say you want to create content about it and you push that knowledge out, even though that knowledge is to help people, it will end up corrupting many people that are not supposed to be exposed to that knowledge yet. I don't want to give an example. I have an example in my heart. I'm trying not to be tempted to do that. All right, the Lord is helping us in the name of Jesus. So a man who does not submit to the lordship of Jesus will make everything to center around himself. And you need to make that cry sincerely this morning. Lord, what will you have me do? I know I've been living my life for myself. I know I've been living my life to enjoy myself. But Lord, what will you have me do? What will you have me do? Help me today. Lord, what will you have me do? Can you make that cry to the Lord? Lord, what will you have me do? We are still coming to an end, but Lord, what will you have me do? Maybe as I'm speaking, you have assessed your life and you understand that there are some things that are not accurate in your life. You understand that you have not submitted everything to the Lordship of Jesus. So can you say, Lord, what will you have me do? Oh, I have been living for myself, but Lord, I have found myself in you this morning. What will you have me do? I am coming like Saul. What will you have me do? Jesus, what will you have me do? Give me your instructions, Lord. Guide me into the instructions that you will help, that you will want me to follow, Lord. Help me, Jesus. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Now, some people, they have some reasons why they said, me, I don't want to submit to the lordship of Jesus yet. I've seen someone said to me, When I get married, I will submit to the Lord. Yes. People have legitimate reason like that. Should I say legitimate? Did I say legitimate? Well, maybe legitimate to them. They have reasons that say, I don't want to submit to the Lordship of Jesus. And one of the reasons why some people want to is that they have fear. They have fear that, if I submit myself to the Lordship of Jesus, it's going to interrupt my plans. It's going to take away the SSCs. They have that fear that they still want to enjoy life small. And they know if they submit to the Lordship of Jesus, he will cut those things off. So they felt, there is this fear, if I submit to him, he will take away these things. I'm still young. I still want to enjoy the Lordship. I still want to enjoy the word small. The worldliness in them, they still want to express it a little. And you have fear. If I submit to the Lordship of Jesus, it's going to cut away all these things. And I've come to announce to you this morning that yes, your fear are accurate. Because it will intercept your plans. Yes. Your fear. They are right. Your fears are accurate. It is going to intercept your plans. It's going to put a stop to that worldliness. Because you cannot be in the kingdom and still look like the son of the world. Your fears are right. It's going to put an end to them. It's going to interrupt those your plans. And the reason why it's going to interrupt those plans is that he has a good plan for you. And he will bring you into the economy of those plans he has designed for you. And he will make those plans good. So your fears are right. And I've come to echo it to you that your fears are right. But you need to come to a place whereby you understand that he needs to help you. Some people, their own problem, the reason why they have not submitted to the lordship of Jesus is that they are full of pride. Because if it is not pride, you understand. You know, I've seen someone tell me, I know, I understand everything you are saying. You know, I believe the Bible. But see, let's just leave this Jesus. It's pride. Because how do you understand what someone has done for you and you still say you don't need it? It's pride. Then some people, the reason why they have not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus is that they are confused. Should I go to Jesus? But yet, Cut. I have something to take care of. Cut. Don't let me go yet. Let me still stay small. They are confused of what to do yet. But if you are confused here this morning, receive grace to make the right decision in the name of Jesus. They are confused. They see up in the inside of them, they receive the word, they are happy. Kai, see the word of the Lord. But when they, after the word, they say, Kai, there is gain for me in this world, though. They want that gain in this world. So inside of, in one side of their hearts, they are looking for that gain. So they are confused. That's the reason why they have not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. But there are some things that begins to happen in the life of the man who has submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. And this is where we end up. Those who have submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, those who have embraced the Lordship of Jesus, there are certain things you begin to see in their life that you will know, this one has submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Number one, they no longer live to themselves. They can no longer live to themselves. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 said, I have been crucified to the world. I no longer live, but Christ, who is in me. So they no longer live to themselves. And if you see anyone who has submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, they no longer live to themselves. Their life is approached by the instructions, by the commandment of the Lord. They can no longer live to themselves. They don't make a decision because they want to make a decision. They no longer live to themselves. They are like David, that they will ask, should I pursue? But you know, sometimes you can even say that question is stupid now. Because they've captured your people, and you are still asking, should I pursue? It's a natural thing to pursue, right? But you can no longer live to yourself if you understand Lordship. You can no longer live to yourself. Number two, they can no longer do anything of themselves. They can no longer do anything of themselves. John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. They can no longer do anything of themselves. Let's also look at John chapter 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. The scripture says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. They can no longer live to themselves. They become a mirror of what they see God in heaven do. Know that certain times we are under pressure to do something. We are under pressure to make decisions. But maybe today someone will make a vow that if God does not speak, I will not take action. Maybe that is what someone needs to do this morning. Many times you are under pressure. See, any decision that will not allow you to be patient enough to hear God, say no to it. Because it's a trap. Many people have rushed into decision. Because they calculate with their head that this thing is right. They end up losing out. But anyone who has embraced the Lordship of Jesus, they can no longer do anything of themselves. They must see what God is instructing. They must see what God is doing, and they partner with it. You can be so heavily anointed of God, and you feel, I will just start a mighty online revival program. But the point is that if you have submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, you can no longer do anything of yourself. It must come from his lips. Do this. Number three, those who have embraced the Lordship of Jesus does not seek or attach value or significance to their achievements, influence, and position, but in their relationship with God. They do not attach significance or value to what they have achieved. But what becomes their significance is their relationship with God. When you look at Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, the scripture says, if anyone will boast, let him boast in the truth that he knows me. So your boast should be in the fact that you know the Lord. That is where your significance lies. If what you are still running after, if your value is still in the truth of, if I can achieve this thing, I will be so important. You will be discouraged that when you achieve those things, you are still looking for another thing that is not lost. Your significance is not in those things. Your significance is in the fact that you know the Lord. See, when you know the Lord, there is a peace. There is an understanding, there is a joy that furnishes your heart, there is a fulfillment that comes to your heart. Maybe some of us think it is when we achieve this thing that we are significant in the society. But there are so many people who have what you are looking for. But yet they still cry that, can we just leave this thing? Because there is a vacuum in their hearts. Your significance is in your relationship with the Lord. Those who embrace the lordship of the Lord, they draw their righteousness through faith in Christ Jesus and not the law. They draw their righteousness through faith in Christ Jesus and not in the law. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Their righteousness is in the Lord and not in the law. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. This is the same Saul we checked the other time, who asked, what will you have me do? Even though he has many achievements to his badge, he has many crowns to his head. But he said that I may know him. That I may know him. That my righteousness is not of the law. That even though men applaud me, even though men clap for me, that you are doing well. But you know that your righteousness is not in those things. It is in pleasing to the Lord. So those who have submitted to the lordship of Jesus, they see that their righteousness is true faith in Christ Jesus and not the law. I believe the Lord has come for us this morning, calling us into a new fellowship with him, calling us to embrace his lordship. And I must say to you this morning, by concluding, that you cannot live without lordship. I don't know if someone heard what I said. You cannot live without lordship. You cannot. It's either you submit to the lordship of Jesus or you submit to other things. You cannot live without lordship. If you said, I'm not ready to submit to the lordship of Jesus because it is a difficult road, because you understand it's going to take away the excesses, you can't still be alone. There is something that is attached to you. Many times you leave the lordship of Jesus and you are running after mammon. Many times you leave the lordship of Jesus and what becomes your Lord is ambitions. Evil cravings. Cravings that is not sponsored by God. You make them your Lord because you have neglected the lordship of Jesus. But Jesus is saying to you this morning that you cannot live without lordship. Your life cannot be lived without headship. No. So you have only one option. Is either you submit to the lordship of Jesus or you submit to the lordship of Jesus. Because you remember what the scripture said, their sorrow shall multiply, they run after what? Another God. So if you have decided to neglect the fellowship, to the lordship of Jesus, what you have done is that you have submitted to other things. And many times, many sorrow can be a follow come of your decision. But the Lord is calling you this morning. I created you. From me you come from. I am your source. Return to me. Help me to come to me. Let me lead you to the place where I have designed for you. To the purpose, to the destiny upon which your life is designed. Oh, can you ask the Lord? Lord, I embrace your lordship this morning. Oh, if there be evil cravings, ambitions that are not sponsored by you, that are evident in my life, let them be cut off this morning. Let every ambition, Let every evil cravings that is not sponsored by you, let them be cut off, Lord. I embrace your lordship.
Oh,
I have lived for myself too long. Show me mercy. I come to you again this morning. Oh, Mantelia, Rekababi Antelia, Sabrende Kabaliata, Mambrena Senfeletiata, Rekete Mande Paradia Saila Bradia Taili. You are my Lord. I call you Lord when I started the journey. Lord, I come to you again, submitting myself to your lordship. I cannot live my life myself, but I ask, Lord, search me, O Lord. If there be any way that I'm not submitting to your lordship, I ask that you help me this morning. Bring me into alignment. Bring me into alignment. Let my life project you. Let my life be an impeccable show, oh, of your glory. Walk me, oh God. Guide me into every instructions of my life. Take away every evil craving. Lord, I submit to your lordship this morning, Lord. Oh, mandele baradia saikaba, regadia taima mamam balakatai, reko si balandia, rente ki babariande, elano sai faradia tai, zekete rianda bababaradia ta. I come to this morning, Lord, and I submit to your lordship, Lord. I have run after ambition so long, Lord, but I understand this morning that my significance is in my relationship with you. So I come this morning, submitting myself, laying everything at your feet. I walk in your way. I walk in your instructions. I walk according to your principles, Lord. This morning, Lord, I lay everything before you, that my life will bring glory to your holy name. That my life will bring glory only to you, Lord. That I will not live, Lord, oh, without help, Lord. You are Emmanuel. I bring myself under your fellowship. You are my shepherd, and I know that when I am under your shepherding, I will lack nothing. So I submit myself to every of your instructions, every of your counsel, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Maminatai, Rebe Bendua Taili, Roskabai, Efina Ronda, Elebo Bomikatia, Rekonde Basindiata, Emina Kobe, Riata Kafela, Menka Baratia. We are making a new decision this morning, Lord, to submit to your lordship, Lord, that we can walk according to your instructions and your guidance for our life. Oh, Jesus, help us. Oh my man, Mamina Kobi Radia, Vegede Siblanda Korea, Rakopande Ribahanso Filiani, Rekebabarande, Eli Gabando Akate, Aikambre Mananta, Finano Se, Feriande Kababuria, Esilando Ragadie Kelakadia. There is someone that needs to make that decision this morning. Lord, I drop everything at your feet. I know I am afraid that maybe I will fail. Oh, I am afraid that my life will be burning. I am afraid that my life will be without meaning. But I submit all to you. For I know you have a plan. I submit all to you. Ooh, Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we embrace your lordship afresh this morning. And we ask, Lord, if there be areas of our life that is not bringing glory to you, that is still being operated by ourselves, we submit all to you this morning. And we ask that over our life, you will take all the glory. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. We ask, O God, that by your spirit, you continue your work. A pruning, taking all every dross, that we can be refined according to your will. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. We thank you because you are our Lord. And you keep leading us and guiding us. In the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed.